and devastation, to say the least. But there's an answer for dryness. There's an answer for barrenness. This goes for nations that need revival. This can apply to a church that needs a new stirring. And my church is included in that. This goes for an individual, for the family that we represent. It says in verse 14 of chapter 1, sanctify a fast. Call for a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and let them cry unto the Lord. Folks, prayer brought Pentecost. Prayer will keep Pentecost. Prayer saved you. It was a simple prayer, but you live in prayer because God responds. He dwells in the prayers of his people, and part of that is his praise. Oh, how we need to be men and women that call upon the Lord. I don't want to say a whole lot. Our church is an imperfect church. We have problems. We have people coming and going. We have sometimes folks rise up, all the things that are common to church life. But I do want to say that we started with 23 and we began to pray. And this church prays. It's a church of prayer. And your pastor will lead the way in this endeavor. For us, he asked us to pray in a concerted way. We were desperate. We didn't have a nice building like you have with a nice roof. Everything was kind of falling down, needed painting, no visitors, no unwelcoming people. And this pastor got kind of a little bit desperate. So I made a deal with God. I said, God, you pastor, I'll pray. And God began to work. Folks, when you call upon God, he hears you. Yes. Amen. Call upon God in the day of trouble. Sanctify a fast. Call for a solemn assembly. Get earnest with God. Look what it says here in chapter 2, verse 12. A wonderful verse. It says this, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you to me even with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. What is that indicative of? You know, God really wants our earnestness, doesn't he? It says a contrite heart God will not despise. When we get earnest, the heavens begin to move for us. When we see our need and we go to God, God never says no to the cry of his people. Hallelujah! We can cry unto God and he will answer us. Look what it says in verse 13. Rend your heart and not your garment. Consider that. He doesn't want an outward show. He wants our hearts to turn to him with everything that we have. Oh, thank God. I know there's a heart for God in this place. I know there's people who have prayed and know how to pray. You know how to turn. Turn. God's waiting to do mighty things. I want to show you the goodness of God in this book. This is amazing to me, folks. I've learned so much from Joel. That's why I'm sharing it, and God put it on my heart. Look what it says here. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto me, the Lord your God. And this is the description of God. For he is gracious. How many can say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He is merciful. Thank God. Have you noticed he's slow to anger and of great kindness? But did you know that God repents? God repents. God sometimes will have to send judgment, but he never really wants to send judgment. God is love. How many of you here have children? Would you want to judge your child? Your grandchild? The only time that you'd really, really get hard with your child is if being hard would be the only thing that would help. Yeah. Is that not so? Yeah. And God loves more than you. I thought you'd think that's funny. God loves more than you love. And God never wants to judge. The only time he judges, it tells us in 2 Chronicles 36, is when there's no remedy. So God's sitting on the throne. And the thing I love about this book is it says that, and he repents him of the evil. Look at verse 14. Joel says, who knows if he will return and repent and leave behind him a blessing. even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. But you notice Joel here doesn't seem quite positive yet. How many times it is when we're getting back to God and we're turning to God at the beginning, maybe there's a little question. God, I know you can, but will you? It almost seems like Joel knows God can, and he does repent, but he's not promising yet he will. But something happens in this book where after he expresses this, as they begin to pray, all of a sudden there's a change. How many know deep prayer brings faith? Amen. How many know when you start to pray, sometimes you're really, really fighting demonic forces. There's a hardness there. Hallelujah. But what happens is you stick to it, the enemy just driven back, and all of a sudden the glory of God comes to your aid, and you begin to get an assurance. And you begin to feel and know in your soul, it's working. God's coming. God's bringing me through. There's a new day shining. There's a faith in my soul. There's a witness in my spirit that God is on my side. God is on your side. Some of you don't even feel it or know it yet, but he's here to tell me. Let me tell you, he's going to bring you through. All right. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That was the shofar. Declare that God's going to do something. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Verse 16. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of his closet. Verse 17. Read it with me. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You see, all are included in this. God loves the cry of the children. God wants us to raise up a good, strong group of young people. God needs the seniors. Sometimes the millennials don't know how much they need us. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell them all the time. They don't believe me. How many got real help from the older saints? How many like to hang out with those that had been just... They just... Oh, hallelujah. They got through, didn't they? And somehow they knew what we were going through, and they were able to help us, weren't they? And oh, you know, wisdom and years and experience is the best teacher. And so there's a place for those who are getting older. And maybe we have gray hair, or maybe we have no hair. I like what Sister Mitchell said at camp when she was in her 80s. She said, we don't get older, we just get more shiny. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. I see a lot of shinies here. That's good. And we need them. We need them. We have to have them. And so everyone was included. The whole flock, the whole people, sanctified the congregation and assembly and gathered every group, and they began to call on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel prayed. It didn't come for 21 days, the answer. But God said through his angel to Daniel, as soon as you prayed, the command was given, and I have come. As soon as you start, God starts. So now you remember back in 14 or 13, you know, Joel was a little bit, who knows if he will come. But now they begin their fast, and they get into desperation, and they begin to go after God. And look what it says in verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his people and pity his people. I want to reread that. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Look at 19. Yes, the Lord will answer. There's kind of a change here, isn't there? What brought the change? Our changing. Folks, sometimes we just put up with the works of the enemy. Sometimes we have unbelief and we don't even think it can happen. We had a story we told during the retreat that was phenomenal to me. There was a fellow who used to come to my church, but for reasons that I don't really fully know, he left our church, but then he got cancer. And he came into our church, and he was just white, just very sick. He looked really, really very, very sick. And he shared with me, he said, I have 4-stage cancer. The doctor told me the chemo didn't work, and he sent me home to die. I stopped him. I said, Mike, we're going to pray for you. I didn't find out till later that his next sentence was, will you have my funeral? But God had different plans. So we called him up to the front. We anointed him with oil. And we felt God touched him, but we didn't hear back from him, and he didn't come to the church for a while. Then after about a month and a half, he's coming in while I'm making the announcement Sunday morning. He comes in the back. And he's got peachy complexion, and he's smiling. So I acted like an evangelist. I said, Mike, what happened to you? And he ran up to the front. And he said, I'm healed of cancer right here. The doctors can't figure it out, but my God reigns. Hallelujah. So we need to get into God's word and get inspired. God is able no matter what I'm going through. No matter what that lie of the enemy. No matter what he's stolen. So I want to continue with you. I got to repeat this one, 19. Yes, the Lord will answer his people. Why don't you say, yes, the Lord will answer me. Behold, he will send the corn. That's wheat. You know what wheat is a type of? The Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is healer, sanctifier, satisfier? Everything you need is in the Holy Spirit. Then he says, I will send the wine. Do you know the wine is a type of the Holy Spirit? And then he says, I will send the oil. The oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And ye shall be satisfied. Ah, what's happened to this barrenness? Where's this dryness? Where's this dearth in the land? All of a sudden, God promises to send all that we need and to be satisfied. And then he says, I will make you no more a reproach among the heathen. I want to skip down to verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, for he hath given you the former rain immoderately, and he will cause to come down the rain, the former and the latter rain, in Durham Full Gospel Church. Hallelujah. 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 I want to say to you, you don't only have a good history. You have a better future. God is on your side. He's not finished. And oh boy. Look at verse 24. The floors shall have some wheat. And some fats and some wine. And just enough. Look what it says. The floor shall be full of wheat. And the fat shall overflow. Amen. Do you see how God wants us to live in the supernatural, folks? They're more abundant, not just enough, not just getting by. Shall overflow. And look what it says here. And folks, this is encouraging. Anyone here ever felt you've wasted some time? Am I the only one? Have you feel like maybe some time has been robbed? You've kind of lost some, you know, progress. And maybe the enemy comes and says, you can never really be what you could have been. Has anyone here ever heard those kind of? I want to tell you what happens when you turn and you call. It says this, 25. And I will restore to you the years. Oh. It doesn't seem fair, but it's His great love. It seems like we should get our just deserts and have to kind of suffer for our sin or our neglect. But it says here, I will restore the years the cankerworm hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. 26, and ye shall eat in plenty. So I want to challenge you. We've wasted some years. We've made some mistakes. We've set ourselves back. When you repent, God not only restores, but somehow He makes up for that lost time.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, if you don't repent and you don't seek and you don't call, you'll live in it. But if you do, according to God's word, He will restore even the time lost, and you will eat in plenty, and you will be satisfied. Thank God. Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Folks, where does praise come from? Does it not come from a heart that's been set free? Does it not come out of trials when we can say, God, you brought me out? Does it not come out of a heart of appreciation? I often think we're coming to our Easter season, and I think of that woman who came to Jesus, and that woman was Mary. And she poured that ointment upon Jesus. And Judas, because his heart was not right, neither was he praising God. He didn't like the waste of money. And if you look it up, it was actually, that ointment was actually a whole year's wage. That was some stuff. But why did Mary anoint Jesus? Because Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. And she was so thankful. Nothing was too much to give to the Master. You know, as we see God restore and bless and do all these things that Joel tells us, we're going to be praisers because we're going to have a testimony. We're going to have a shout. How many are thankful for all Jesus has done? Hallelujah. Let's praise Him in this house. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're not finished with us. Thank you that this house is set aside for you, that these vessels are ready, that this people is ready, and they're going to declare a time of going forth and taking what you have for them. Now I'm almost finished, but I'm not quite finished. Oh, boy, this sure fits you folks. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Dorumful Gospel. You're the Israel of God, right? You shall know that I am in the midst. And I am the Lord your God. And none else. And my people. Come on. Hallelujah. My people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. I've lifted them out of the miry clay. I've set their feet on a rock. I've restored their souls. I've sent the wheat. I've sent the oil. I've sent the wine. I've filled them with plenty. And I'm going to be in the midst of my people. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. This is not an old story. It's who you are. I am the Lord, I change not. Hallelujah. Oh, those who are discouraged here, come on up. Hallelujah. Begin to call. He's going to break that thing. Some of you perhaps have fallen into something that you don't want, something of the old life. Thank God Jesus has destroyed the old life. You come to Him. He's on your side. He'll pull you out. All right, now, I am getting close to the end. It's early. You're going to rev me up. Verse 28. See if you recall where these words are used. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaids, the women. In those days I will pour out my spirit. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In the New Testament, it says, be saved. We know this was the text, as I said earlier, for Peter's sermon. Peter stood up when the Lord was pouring out his spirit and they thought the disciples were drunk. He said, these are not drunk, and see, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, as you suppose. But this is that which was spoken by the apostle, the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Folks, we're Pentecostal. This is our text. But it's not just a text for tongues or gifts, which I believe in and we want and we have and we want all God has. It's the text that was given so we could be assured the fullness that Jesus purchased. He purchased your victory. The enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy. God wants you to come up into the place He's called for you. He's calling for you to come up and to be delivered and saved and filled and to be restored and have all those years given back to you, because that's who He is. Folks, I know it's a very positive message. The gospel's good news. It's not about religion. It's not about a bun on my head. If anyone has buns, please forgive me. It's not necessarily about outward observance and tradition. It's about a changed life. It's about a heart that's full. It's about a life that's rich. Because the blessing of God has overflowed it. It's living in it. And it's changed everything. And you know, once He changes us too, isn't there a greater faith for those who come? You know, it used to be when people would come for healing, they'd kind of be like, I know there are healings, but they were 30, 40 years ago. Folks, I'm glad. Virtually in every meeting in our church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, morning prayer, people have been miraculously healed. And you know, I want to say something. I feel, and I am believing, that God is going to do something so powerful in this place. Now, we don't seek healing to be powerful. But you know what Jesus said? If you don't believe me for my words, believe me for the work's sake. That was the signs and wonders. God wants to awaken in Canada. He wants to awaken America. And folks, we are the salt. We are the light. We are the light of the world. He wants the churches to be a place where there's deliverance. We had a woman who came to our church, had a cigarette problem. I don't judge people for smoking. There's worse sins. But this woman wanted to get free. 25 years, could never kick the habit. And she came to our church and we began to pray, Lord, don't only heal, but Lord, we want to see you deliver. So this woman came to a communion service. And as she broke that bread, as she drank that cup, that thing was gone. The taste of it forever gone. Hallelujah. But folks, you know the thing that excites me the most is what I feel among you. That love for Jesus and the person of Jesus. Some of us are longing for a fresh touch. How many say amen? Amen. So many want to see a new infilling. And I want to tell you, God is going to give it to you. So I want to say, the door and full gospel, as I stand with my good friend, this man, and this assistant, I thank God for them. I thank God for you who have been here for a long time and those who are new. You declare a fast. You call on the Lord. You weep before Him. You rend your heart and not your garment. And you are going to see things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man, the things God hath prepared for them who love Him. Lord, I thank you. I thank you today for this house that honors you. And God, I thank you that you've been doing a new thing and a wonderful thing. And God, I thank you that you're going to continue not only in this church, but in every individual, every family, Those here today that have felt they've been robbed or something's been taken. God, we are standing and we are believing that you're going to restore the wheat, the oil, the wine, that you are going to cause there to be plenty, and that, Lord, we are going to overflow with the blessing of God.